Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Geeks. This is a special baseball edition of our podcast. Usually, it's just me and Pat doing the NFL stuff. Pat's here again. Say hi, Pat.
How's it going?
We also got another writer from our stuff, Bernie. Say hi, Bernie.
Hello, hello.
All right, and what we're going to do is the first set of playoff games. Major League Baseball is already over. We're left with two matchups, Phillies-Dodgers in the National League and Yankees-Angels in the American League. And we're just going to talk a little baseball and then make our picks a little later on. So the first series is Phillies-Dodgers. What do you guys think?
This series, it's a rematch of last year. I think it's going to be it's going to go seven games. I don't see the Dodgers rolling over as easy as they did last year. But it comes down to their pitching, basically. They basically, after the All-Star break, Billingsley shut it down, didn't know how to throw the ball, period. And Kershaw missed most of September. They added Vicente Padilla, who, for whatever reason, decided to throw 95 miles an hour and dominate games and not hit people, more importantly. But it's basically going to come down to their starting rotation. If their rotation can go deep in the game and just basically make it Sherrill and Broxton at the end of the game, I think the Dodgers can win. But they have to shut down, you know, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jason Worth, Raul Labañez, Jimmy Rollins. You know, that's a pretty tough.
Yeah, Philly's lineup.
You know, but it's lefty heavy, and Torrey made a move today. Kuroda's on the roster now. And Scott Albert, who's a rookie and left-handed and throws hard, is now on the roster. So he brought on an extra lefty to face all the lefties that the Phillies are throwing at him. And that's, you know, Joe Torre being Joe Torre, going with the matchups as he does. You know, he's been in the postseason 14 years in a row, so I think he knows what he's doing.
A little experience going for him there, yeah.
Exactly, and it always seems, no matter what team he has, they always play well in the postseason. You know, last year most people really didn't give the Dodgers a chance, you know, to even win a game against the Phillies, and they did. But, you know, now, who knows? I think they could potentially take it. It'll probably... I don't know how many games it'll go, but it's going to be a hell of a series, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, they need Manny and Matt Kemp. They need their big bats to show up. If they don't, it could be over in four.
Yeah.
It's that simple, you know.
You think there's a lot of pressure on Manny this series to deliver, just kind of as a Dodger, he came in, made the big bucks, he's away from Boston, Boston's out of it. How much pressure you think he's feeling right now?
Well, considering after he came back, he really didn't hit that well, coming back from a suspension, yeah. Not injury, anything like that. He didn't really hit that well, you know, and people were like, well, where's Manny? And the team sort of faded as the season progressed, and they almost lost the division in the final weekend. I think there's more pressure on Manny now than there was last year to perform well, because last year he came over to the Dodgers and hit almost 400 for three months.
Yeah, he was good in the playoffs, too.
He one-handed that ball against the Cubs into left center field. It was a slider down and away. He just one-handed it to left center field. I mean, so he was just locked in completely.
He hit 520 in October last year.
He carried the team last year in the playoffs.
And we all know how fantastic he is in the field as well. I mean, he's been out there on the defensive end.
But you know what? He stepped up his defensive play last year, too. He ran in some balls and ran back on some balls last year that I was like, is this really Manny Ramirez? I didn't think that it was him out there.
Right.
I don't know, but does he care anymore? Like, he's got that player option for next year. So, I mean, is he just going to totally mail it in? I mean, it doesn't matter to him. Like,
I think it does matter to him, honestly, because after what he went through this year and then, you know, the whole issue with Boston last year, I think this is his chance of, you know, winning another championship, not in Boston, and just sort of sticking the middle finger up to him and saying, hey, you guys didn't want me around. Guess what I just did?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I can see some of that FU motivation for him, you know.
So, I think it's huge, and especially if he wins it with Torrey, and then he's gonna probably go on and, you know, say, oh, Torrey's the greatest manager I ever played for. I can see this being a big media thing if he ends up winning the World Series, either against the Yankees or anybody. If he wins it, he's gonna open his mouth, he's going to be Manny.
Right.
You know, say what he says, and he's going to point some fingers at people like he used to do in Boston, and he's just going to be Manny. Yeah, I can't blame him. You know,
definitely a different type of player. Like, he's not, I don't know if he's even necessarily motivated by the idea of winning. He just wants to win so he can put it in someone else's face. Like, he's not, his mind, I don't think, works like a normal person's.
Like, understatement there, I think.
Absolutely. He's almost like a child. It's like, he some days he wants to have fun, some days he just wants to be the little kid that gets in trouble. You know, he's sort of, I guess he probably has ADD most likely at this point. He's just like, whatever. I think I'll go hit 3 home runs today. Today I'm just going to go 0-for-4 and take every strike looking, you know.
Yeah.
He's an enigma. He really is. He probably would fit in really well back in the old days when you had like Wee Willie Keeler and Rabbit Moranaville, like all these old crazy kind of guys that do crazy stuff. He probably fit perfect with these guys. He'd be like, oh, Manny, let's go out and party. He'd be like, okay, let's go.
Kind of random question, but I haven't heard a whole lot of talk with that whole suspension that came down this year. You think that's league-driven? Selig doesn't want that image out there. He wants to, you know, especially in a year where economies are bad, all that. Does he want to not put any black marks on anything and is kind of, you know, bringing down the hand saying we're not talking about that? Because I really haven't heard much of it throughout the playoffs I think in other years that would still be a big storyline.
I think after Ortiz and Manny were said to be on that list of 103, and, you know, A-Rod came out in spring training and, you know, even admitted that he was, you know, after his name came out off the list, I think basically everybody is sort of tired after, oh, well, here's two more names off this list that people may or may not have done anything. And I don't think it came down from Bud Selig, but I think the media in general is just like, you know what? You know, it's great that we got A-Rod, we got Manny, we got Ortiz, but you know what? We don't care anymore. The fans don't care. They just want to watch baseball.
Kind
they want to drink the beer and root for their team. You know, it's not going to really be a surprise to anyone anymore. Nobody get up in arms. Nobody's going to be punished. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter to baseball. They need to accept the period and move on. You know, guys did steroids. Guys did amphetamines. Guys did HGH. As long as you can police it and say, all right, now we got it under control, nobody's doing it anymore, then it doesn't matter. You just need to accept it. That's it. And I think that's what most fans are at right now. They just are like, you know what, Manny did it, A-Rod did it. They probably think everybody did it. Who cares? Let's just watch some baseball.
Yeah. All right, anything else on that series?
I think it's going to come down. I mean, Manny hit 308 in the NLDS. He didn't have any home runs, but he had 3 doubles. But I think Matt Kemp is going to be the key for this series. If he can step up and hit above 142 than he did in the NLDS, I think he's a star in the making. And he's most likely a star already, but he's a guy to watch. If he comes through and hits even 330, I think the Dodgers could win this. He is the key for them. He can do it all. He can hit leadoff. He can hit fourth. He can hit third. He's the best player on the team, honestly.
Are we doing our picks right now, or are we coming back to that at the end?
Yeah, let's do our picks for this series, and then we'll do the next one, and then do the World Series at the end. So,
okay.
Bernie, you take it away for the first one.
I think the Dodgers in seven. I think Brad Lidge is also going to finally crap one out and give up a win that the Phillies need, and it may be game 7, it may be game 5, who knows, but I think the Dodgers are going to get to him one game, and I think the Dodgers are going to take it in 7.
All right, I'm going to agree with the team. I'm going to go in 6 games. I'm going to take the Dodgers. Could get dicey if the Dodgers let that power that, you know, Ryan Howard and stuff brings get to them. Dodgers have a much better batting average team-wise than the Phillies, but the Phillies put up a little more runs a game. But I think if they can keep him under control, kind of agree with what you said on all the pitching and whatnot. I'll go Dodgers in 6.
All right, I'm going to go Phillies in 7. I like the experience they have, playoffs, you know, making it all the way last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a close one. It could go either way. I like the Phillies in 7.
Sure.
So, ALCS, we got Yankees Angels.
Yep. Kicking off Friday night.
As I've said in a couple articles, I am a diehard Yankee fan, but I wanted the Red Sox so bad. I did not want to face the Angels. I admittedly hate the team. I think the Yankees are going to go out and buy Sean Figgins in the offseason just so they don't have to face them anymore. They're going to give him the highest price for a utility player of all time. It may be in the neighborhood of like $30 million a year just so they don't have to worry about him anymore. But the key for this series is the Dodgers keeping Figgins, Esturiz, and Ibar off the bases. They have to keep those guys off the bases because the pests, they run, they steal bases, they go first to third on any ball that's hit. But they're better than any team in the majors, and it's annoying. It really is. I can talk about them, but it really just it annoys me to do it. But you know, the key for the Yankees is the home magic. They keep walking off. They can't seem to be beat at home. I mean, they have, but if they're close in the bottom of the ninth, you better have everybody up in the bullpen because you might need to match up against everybody because they can. The ghost transferred across the street.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something about the Yankees at the end of games. It's really not. I mean, that's cliche to say it's never over till it's over, but this year it's not. And with the way A-Rod's been playing, might look differently at this one if A-Rod has his typical kind of playoff slump. But he was just on fire last series. I think he's got his swagger back. The one question, and I know CeCe's a big guy, he's strong, durable, but going with that three-man rotation, possibly pitching him three times, I don't know. If anybody can do it, he probably can, but at the same time, I think, you know, do you risk some fatigue if they've been talking some of their, if there's rain kind of delays, they're just going to push games together, that's going to throw that whole rotation off because that rotation is dependent on the way the games are lined up now. So if rain pushes a game back, that gets thrown off. So I think that's, if the Yankees have any question mark for me, it's that whole idea to go three deep rotation and if that schedule gets thrown off because of delays or anything.
Yeah, but the thing I look at is last year when it was end of the season, CeCe pitched on 3 days rest, I believe it was like three times in a row to get the Brewers into the playoffs for the first time in years. And he loved it. He thrived upon it. He wished he could do it more often. But obviously in the age of salaries and big contracts, it's not going to happen. But that's the one thing. If they don't get rained out and they need him to come back, I want him on the mound. He's our ace. We're paying him all that money to be our ace. And he's going to show up. There's no doubt about it. He's going to want to throw 130 pitches, even if he only goes six innings. He's going to want to be the guy out there to take the blame, either win or lose or whatever. He's going to be the one to be out there. And I want that. There hasn't been a pitcher like that, honestly, on the Yankees in a while. I haven't, I mean, maybe Pettit, but for a guy like CeCe to say, hey, you know what? I want it. I want everything that comes with this position. And if they don't get rained out, you know, we'll see what happens. But if they do, I think God Dan's probably going to get the start, not Jabba, not anybody else. I think it'll be God Dan and then all hands on deck at that point.
And so, Alex, what are your thoughts on this series then?
I don't know. I think I like Alex Rodriguez, the way he's played, and him and Teixeira. I think that combination there, especially in the late innings like we've seen in the earlier round, that could make a difference for them. You know, he's not played well in the past in the playoffs, and you know, things seems like this year he's just ready to play. He's not talking to the media. You know, I know they try to get to him, you know, like the New York media, they follow him around all the time, I'm sure, and they, you know, him and whoever he's hanging out with, whatever lady friend he happens to be with. But I think this year he's kind of hunkered down and he's ready to play, so I like that.
Yeah, and that's a tough line. You get a couple runners on base, and then it's like, oh, here's a guy who can hit 40 home runs. Oh, here's another guy who can hit 40 home runs. It just doesn't stop going down that lineup, and it's tough.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, it's weird. Like, everybody talks about there being a money ball and, you know, guys that take pitches and being on base percentage better than batting average. But the Yankees sort of been building that for years, guys that'll take pitches and, you know, get the pitchers deep into account. I don't know if it was before or after, but they've always just sort of seemed to do that ever since I've been growing up. you know, it's just they don't get recognized for it. I don't know. They're just, oh, well, they got home runs right after home runs. It's like, well, yeah, because they take the pitcher and try and work him into a count where they can get a home run and jack it out of the stadium. You know, but like Alex said, the A-Rod thing, it completely surprised me. I wasn't expecting him to hit 455 with two home runs and break his single season or single series record of six ribbies in the ALDS. I was not expecting that at all. You know, we'll see if it keeps going. And obviously, Jeter's Jeter. He has over 500 plate appearances in the postseason alone. Most guys don't even get that in one season. You know, he's just
right.
There's nothing else you can say about him, really. He's got the rings. He's got the stats. He's done it all. The only thing he hasn't done is win an MVP. That's it. You know. But
right.
The Angels lineup is just as strong. They got Abreu now, and he's teach patience to everyone down the lineup, well, except for Vlad Guerrero, who will swing pretty much anything from his nose
yeah.
to his toes.
I saw him hit a ball that was bounced this year. It hit the plate and bounced up, and he still hit and connected.
I saw him hit where he was in a league play. They threw him a pitch. It was up at his shoulders, and he just turned on it and drilled it over the Dodger bullpen in Dodger Stadium. And that's a long way. That's at least 400, maybe 500 feet away. It was a bomb, and he just jacked it out. I'm just like, how do you do this? How do you, like, some guy would be like, all right, I'm going to sit on a zone. I'm looking for my pitch. If I get it, it's gone. He's just like, all right, if I see it and I like it, I'm going to swing. I guess that's what he goes with. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. He's one of those players. He's like Manny. We don't know how he does it some days, but some days he's like, I'm going to go golfing today off the shoe tops. It's amazing. And Torii Hunter is Torii Hunter. He's going to run the balls down, and you know what? He's probably going to come up with a dramatic play at some point, either home run or defensively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Torii Hunter, I like his intensity. Did you see him, like, after I think he hit a home run, he was, like, going crazy in the dugout, like, throwing helmets around. Like, he was, like, I don't know. I like that intensity from him. You don't see that in a lot of baseball players. Like, a lot of baseball players are just kind of business-like, and they're just kind of, they do their thing. But Torii Hunter, I don't know, he just has that intensity. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I liked watching it. I got to see him play several years, you know, in Minnesota, and he was just a fun player to watch. And yeah, he brings that intensity, brings kind of that goofy attitude, you know, kind of lighthearted at times, but still he takes the game, you know, serious. And I enjoy watching him play.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys who was like, well, if he ever becomes a free agent, I wouldn't mind the Yankees getting him, but we kind of filled out the center field position now, but he's just one of those guys that, no matter what team he's on, he's going to produce. He's going to be great in the clubhouse. You know, any team in the Major League Baseball would love to have him. Any sport, really. He could probably play any sport if he wanted to. If he went to any team, you're going to look at him as a leader. He's the guy that always, in the clutch moments, he's going to come up big. It's, you know, him and Jeter are like the two guys on that team, and or even when Hunter was in, you know, Minnesota, those are the guys on that team that you look to them to lead the way, to right the ship if it's going bad. You know, all that. Now he's another key for the Angels. If he has one of those dramatic plays, that could just, like, suppress the Yankees and either end the series or, you know, get the Angels back into it, one or the other, who knows.
Right. So, who are we going with then? We want to go, Bernie, you want to start it off with?
Yeah, I'm going the Yankees in seven. I think they get the rally monkey off their back, and these two series, ALCS and NLCS this year, I think they're going to go down as the two best ALCSs and NLCSs ever. I think the games are going to be close and they're going to be dramatic, and you're going to see some things that you may not have ever seen before in a game. You know, they're just going to be exciting. And it hopefully revitalizes baseball some more.
I'm gonna put my vote in for the rally monkey being the most annoying damn thing I've possibly. I just don't like that rally monkey, but that's besides the point, I guess. I am gonna go with Los Angeles actually in seven. I think that I want to see A-Rod perform when it's those late, you know, game six, game seven. He was doing well against the Twins, but it was kind of a foregone conclusion that Yankee. I don't. not too many people thought the Twins were going to take that one. And he had big hits. I'm not discrediting that. But I want to see when that pressure's really on and, you know, game six, game seven, see if he can come through. If he does, I'll be wrong, and it'll be Yankees. But I'm going to go with the Angels.
All right. I'm going to go I want to go with the Yankees. I was going to say seven, but I think it's too idealistic of me to say both series. So I'm going to go Yankees in six just because I think they got the superior lineup. And I think one of these games will end up being a blowout, and then they'll take it in six instead of seven.
Nice.
So World Series, we're going to do our picks, I guess. Bernie, you had Dodgers-Yankees. Who you got in the World Series?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Yankees, and I'm going to go with seven games again. I think the Dodgers looks going to be a good matchup. The Yankees, the Bulls got pretty good lineups, pretty good pitching, and it's a Joe Torre team. You can't, any team that Joe Torre is managing, you can't count them out. I think they got enough to go seven games against the Yankees, but considering the Yankees have had a field due to the ludicrous All-Star rule, the Yankees in seven.
All right. Pat?
I had it'd be Angels versus Dodgers, and I will take the Angels in six. I just maybe have some bias, some American League superiority there. But if it comes to that, I think the Angels are going to do it. Again, no fantastic insight as to why. I guess that's just kind of gut reaction.
Yeah. I had the Phillies and Yankees, and I'm gonna go Yankees in six. I think this just might be their year. You know, they got that feel to it. So, as much as I hate to say it.
New stadium, all that.
Yeah. All right, Pat. Bernie, thanks for joining me. And we'll have to do this again sometimes. Maybe halfway through the World Series or something if it's looking close. And thanks for joining me. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Sports Geeks Podcast.